Good morning, everyone. This is Connie Chu, and it is my privilege today to lead EMP this morning. So I hope everyone is having a good day. I would just like to open all this up in prayer. So Father God, we just invite your presence today, Lord, and we thank you, God, for this beautiful morning. We just ask, Holy Spirit, that you speak to each one of us, that we would hear what the Holy Spirit wants to share, to reveal to each one of us today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. So now let's watch a video together. Let's watch the one video for today.
And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "Look, there he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning. Lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake.
Okay. So today's verses in Mark. It's actually, to be honest, it's not my favorite part of the Bible because it talks about the great tribulation. Obviously, there is rejoicing because there's also the second coming of Jesus Christ, which we should all be excited about and we should all look forward to. But I don't know if it's human nature, but I really just don't like the suffering part. So one of my prayers is actually I tell Jesus, like, Jesus, I hope I'm in heaven before the great tribulation comes. But obviously no one knows the time and the place. So in reading Mark, I do, to be honest, I find it a little bit confusing because in one passage, it seems that it's very, very imminent. Like in verse, let me look this up. Because Jesus is saying here that, this generation will not, let me look for the word. Wait. Yeah. So in verse 30, in Mark 13, verse 30, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene before all these things take place." And but yet, you know, the signs that Jesus is saying, it's, you know, all these, a lot of people think that we are actually encountering these signs right now. Obviously, there's a lot of strife going on. There's famine. Like, if you do a checklist against what the Bible are saying are the signs of the end times, a lot of people do believe that we are towards the end and Jesus' second coming is coming close. But then, if you also talk to people who follow history, some of them would say that this is not the first time that all these things are happening. If you go back in time, those same events or similar events could have happened. And then this is the part that that really confuses me, because in one place, when Jesus says this generation shall not pass before these events happen, you would think it's really, really imminent. But then in two verses down, Jesus also says in verse 32, "However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows." So when I first read this, I was thinking, so Jesus, what are you saying? Is it tomorrow? But then it seems like you're implying that it is imminent. But then in the next few verses, you're saying that actually no one knows, only the Father knows. So as I was meditating upon this, I realized that I shouldn't get bogged down in this seeming inconsistency, because in God's word, in the whole Bible is consistent. That's why we always have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us revelation to how to interpret it. So as I was praying through this, what really struck me was I shouldn't focus too much on trying to see if indeed we are living in the end times, if tomorrow it might happen. But I think the key verse here is actually Jesus' reminder that we should all be awake, that we should all be prepared, because we don't know the times. It could happen a few thousand years from now, or it could even happen today. We just don't know. So the key thing is we have to be awake. And in fact, Jesus is so merciful. He actually gives us an illustration to help us understand, which is he uses the example of a house, wherein the master leaves for a long journey. But before he left, he actually gave instructions to his servants what to do with the house. The verses don't give details on what these instructions the master gave, but definitely there were detailed instructions given by the master before he left for that long journey. And because the servant doesn't know when the master would come, then it is incumbent upon the servant to always prepare and always follow the master's instructions every day, like the master would come home anytime. So to illustrate this to us, as I was meditating upon the verses for today, what really struck me was the concept of a house. Because in the illustration, we are the servants. And then obviously the master is God. And then the house is whatever God has entrusted in our care. You know, in the parable of the talents, it talks about God gave us certain talents and we should do the most with it. So in our case, in the verses for today, when I think about the house, I think it is an illustration of what has God given to each one of us for safekeeping. It could be financial, it could be money, it could be whatever resources you have, your job, your network, it could be your skills. It could be your time, all the gifts that God has given us. And then, so which gives me to the next verse of, what then am I doing with this house that God has given us? Because when it talks about the instructions, so just to backtrack a bit. So some people, when they're so focused in thinking, oh, today is it. You know, the end times are nearing. You do have, it's becoming quite a pastime for some segments of, in some segments of the world, where they call them the doomsday preppers, where they just withdraw from society and they move into bunkers, or they buy all these provisions preparing for the end of the world. But I don't think that is the type of preparation that God wants us to do. I think God actually wants us to live in this world, but not of this world. So to continue living, like going about our normal lives, but also living it in a way like this might be the last day that we have here on earth, that or Jesus might come anytime, which means we have to be prepared and make sure that each and every day we are following the instructions of the Master. So what are these instructions that God has given us? Obviously, those instructions are in the Word. God, in his wisdom, has given us an entire Bible, which is really instructions for life as to how we can follow it. We have the Bible, and obviously, there's also a specific revelation that God gives us as we pray, as we discern together in community. But obviously, it always has to follow the Bible, which then brings me to the passage in Romans that we have for today, which is about submission and respect for authority. And this is a very difficult passage, especially this time and age, because when we talk about authority, it actually talks about, it could cover any types of authority. It could be government, which is our political authority. It could be our pastors or those who have religious authority over us. For those who are married, it could be for wives, it could be the husband. For children, it's the parents. So there's so many different types of authority. And you know, we talk about this a lot at SP. Based on those discussions, what I realized is a lot of people struggle, especially when we're talking about submission to authority in terms of political authority, which is the government. And because, you know, there are very, very, more often than not, a lot of the governments you have today, a lot of people would think they are unjust, they are ungodly. But then going through the, just meditating on these verses, it doesn't have a qualification. It doesn't say only submit to godly authority. It seems like it's a general caveat, it's a general command of submission to authority. Which, to be honest, is I cannot say that I fully understand how it works out. Obviously, especially the other year, when just to localize this sharing, like here in Hong Kong, when protests were going on, there was a lot of struggle about what it means to submit, respect, and obey the government. And actually, even until now, people are still struggling with the division that those different views and those that brought about to the church. But I think as I'm meditating through this, I think the emphasis here of why did God just give a general command about submission to authority? And I think this is because God is a God of order. If he qualified this with only submit to godly authority, we being the human beings that we are, we might actually interpret this as an invitation to make our own interpretation, our own determination of whether we should follow a certain authority or not, based on our own determination of whether it's godly or not. And I think that would, especially in the political context, I think that would cause disorder in society. And my basis for saying this, because in the later verses in Romans, Jesus actually says pay your taxes. And then he explains why we should pay our taxes. And I think it's because he wants order in society. So instead of trying to determine whether something is godly or not, obviously we always have to be guided by the Bible, but I think especially in the context of our leaders, whether it be a church or it be in government, I think there is this temptation to criticize and say they should do X, Y, and Z. They should have done things a certain way. Why didn't they do this or that? And myself included, it's very, very tempting to just criticize and point out what's wrong. But that's not what Jesus is calling us to do. What he is calling us to do is actually in the Bible, we are called to actually pray for our leaders. So I think that's one of the instructions that God has given us, that the Master has given us before he left it in charge of the house. So in today's, for today, I think we should take a moment to meditate and think about What is the house that God has given to each one of us? What are those resources that he has left to us to minister to administer, to steward while he is away? And as we are thinking about that, is also to keep in mind, what instructions has God given to each one of us? So as we meditate on these points, I would like to invite Cardia to lead worship. So as we're listening to this worship song, it is a good reminder about that we just give Jesus our everything. We give him our heart, we give him our everything, And in so doing, it is a reminder to each one of us to ask Jesus, what does it mean to give him our heart, to give him our yes, to give him, to follow his instructions. So now let's move on to community prayer. So let's pray for those in our community who are suffering from certain ailments, for those who are suffering from cancer, and also those who are recovering from chemo, from radiation, from therapy, and from surgery. So let us pray. Let's pray for those who are suffering from illness, but more importantly, that they also need Jesus, so that they will receive the ultimate healing, which is salvation. Let us pray. Let us pray for those who are suffering from infirmities, both in our community and the loved ones of members of our community. Let's pray for those in our community who are looking for jobs, that God will just guide each one of them, and that especially during these moments of waiting, that God will that they will have intimacy with God. Thank you. Let's pray for our mission focus for this morning. Let's lift up Singapore, SPSG, PSAM Kim. Let's lift up Indonesia, SPIN, which is led by P. Salamat, and also the Philippines, which is led by Pastor Ernie. Let us lift up our education ministries, SP Kids led by Pastor Mary and Lisa, SP Youth led by Donald, and SPU led by P. Andrew. Let's pray for them, for those leaders who are leading our education ministries, as well as all the volunteers, that they will just be led by the Spirit, they will be filled with the Spirit, and also for the children and our youth and our college kids, especially during this moment, that they will grow in the love of knowledge of God. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministries, IP led by Matt, the well led by Sarah, and the river led for Rachel, especially during this moment in the past few weeks when we're talking about inner healing. So I hear there's been a lot of sign-ups and a lot of interest in inner healing. So let's just pray for God to lead these various ministries so that each one of us will be freed from whatever bondages we have, and we will just be release into what God has for each one of us. Let's lift up evening outreach, SP Lights and Homie Outreach, just for God's guidance as to how to be creative in running this ministry, especially during these times of COVID and social distancing. For God to just give creative ideas as to how to continue outreaching. Let's pray for our city, Hong Kong. Let's pray for, you know, as today is about submission to authority, let's also pray for the authorities here in Hong Kong, the political authorities, the spiritual authorities, and also for our city to just for the government to lead the people and have come up with policies that will really prosper the city in accordance with God's will. Yeah, so I would like to close us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help us with authorities in a godly way. Help us pray regularly for government and church leaders. Make us ambassadors of reconciliation in a divided society. And we also ask, Father, for those who serve us in the police force, hospitals, and fire services, protect them from harm, Lord, and give them a servant's heart. May you grant them the wisdom, strength, and encouragement to work through challenging situations and the demands of long work hours. And Father God, we also ask, God, we submit ourselves to you, Jesus, and we also ask that you speak to each one of us as to what instructions have you given to each one of us as to how to take care of this house that you have given in our care, Lord. Help us be aware of the times. Your time is short, and that you might come any day, and enable us, God, to be ready and always be prepared and aware and awake for the time when you come. So we love you, Lord. We lift all these things, all these prayers, in Jesus' name we pray. So have a good day, everyone, and bless you. I also bless the rest of your week. Thanks for dialing in. Bye.